Podcast, August 9th, 2020. In this world, it's sometimes wise to have a weapon. How about a weapon that can be used as a defensive or an offensive weapon? That makes sense. What about a massively powerful, massively unstoppable weapon that you can take with you anywhere? How about a weapon that no one can take from you? Sound interesting? Or maybe a little scary, as if, what if someone else had this weapon? Well, the good news is, news that might alleviate that fear, this weapon can't hurt you. It can't backfire on you. It's safe and it's powerful. And if someone else has it, those things hold true. It can't hurt you. It can't backfire on you. Now, there are some very powerful tools and weapons available to us as humans, like this currently widely used tool of indoctrination, deceptions, and lies. They're using it in all over the place. In the media, in the school systems, in politics, and in sales. Many people are complicit with using that tool of indoctrination, deception, and lies. But just consider this. What if you had an unstoppable weapon that countered all that, that filtered them all out? A weapon that brought only good. No, the best results possible. Well, the good news is we do have such a tool or weapon. That's what this podcast is about. This tool or weapon is available to all, but unfortunately, and this is proven by observation, not all will use it. Or some will pretend they're using it, but not really be using it. So from this point on, we're going to speak of it as if it were you using it and that it were true. So one, this weapon is incredibly powerful in all circumstances, and I mean all. Two, it can be used in any situation to swing it to your advantage. Defensively or offensively. It can be used covertly, meaning hidden. No one will know it's you using or wielding the power. You just change the situation without anyone knowing you're there. And there's no distance to it. You can work it in Europe or China or on the moon. It's unstoppable. Four, it'll penetrate any barrier. There's no bunker deep enough to hide from it. No place clever enough to hide from it. It's unstoppable. And there's no remedy or any way for the enemy to protect themselves or shield themselves to avoid it once it's applied. There's just nothing that can happen. Once this tool is implemented, there's nothing they can do to protect themselves. No defense will work against it. Now, this is powerful. Six, it'll turn any unwinnable situation into a we won. And I've seen this happen over and over. It's so easy to use, but it can be tricky, and that's the problem. It's tricky. You got to use it right. And it can't be misused to harm yourself. You can't like, ooh, I made a mistake and hurt yourself. You practice makes perfect. This weapon or tool has no limits. I've got my ideas, but I've realized that mine are limited compared to the potential of this tool. And this is the most powerful, productive, best defense against attack. Like I said, against attack, it works in defense that I've ever seen. It works quickly, it works quietly, and when used right, it works every time. Okay, so first of all, let me make sure that you're not just going to listen to these words and believe them or disbelieve them or pretend you know all about it or pretend it's all BS. I want you to not believe my words or disbelieve them. Instead, let's use the age-old wisdom. Test all things and hold fast to that which is good. So test everything about this tool. Test it. Just take what information's there. Don't believe me. Don't disbelieve me. Just take this data and test it to the fullest. And if you want to use this tool, if you want the most powerful tool weapon in the world, I'm saying you can't break this tool. You can't hurt it, and it can't hurt you. So test it and see what proves true and what's not. I'm saying this weapon has unlimited potential, but don't believe me. Test it to your fullest. You've got to test it and prove that it's true to you and good, and then you'll have a weapon, if it does prove true and good, that will serve you in any and every situation. Again, test this yourself, prove it on yourself, then test it again and test it again, and then once you think you've got it figured out, see how much more there is, because we tend to limit ourselves. And this is very important. Seek help from God, because he knows all about it. He created this weapon. Of course, we're talking about this weapon called the blood of Jesus, applying the blood of Jesus. Now, Now, this is might offend some, and I guess I'm sorry about that, but not really. Many will assume they know all about it because they've heard of it. They may have even used it. But do they? Absolutely not. I don't, and I've used it for years. Many will assume that they know the power of it, but the truth is, do they? Absolutely not. So they've got to do some more testing. I mean, there's this thing that happened in religion that I think is a problem. A friend of mine called it showmanship. I call it, religiosity. We say the words, we have the image, but we're not to the reality of the thing. We have the image of what Jesus said, but not the truth. We say, oh yeah, Jesus talks, but we really don't listen. We get our own ideas of what he's saying. So this is about testing and proving to the fullest. Now I'm going to talk about my story here quickly on the blood of Jesus. And this is kind of a fun thing. This is my story, so just take it for what it is. A friend of mine, good friend, told me about using the blood of Jesus as a weapon and a shield. It was called applying the blood of Jesus. At first I was skeptical and a bit cocky. I was one of those guys who think he knew all about because I had some experiences of God and, even had a near-death experience. And I thought I knew all about God, I was a little bit cocky and skeptical, but it sounded good, so I thought I'd be testing it. And I actually thought I knew about it because, I thought we talked about it and the blood of Jesus and stuff. But so the good news was, for me, I was in a habit of testing things. I was a natural skeptic. I'd seen lots and lots of things. My dad was a lawyer, so I just knew that there was lots of things that were presented as true that were not. And so I was just raised to test all things and prove them true. I didn't realize that was what Jesus said, test all things and prove and hold fast to that which is true. So I wanted to see if this was really true. So I thought I would start looking a little deeper, and I did. And when I first started looking to God, I was in the way. They told me about the last, this will show you my skeptical nature. When I first started looking to God, I didn't realize I was in the way. They told me that I had to prepare for the last judgment and say this prayer poem about saving God and accepting and all that. In short, my thing was, I'm not sure about all this. Why? I don't feel much different. And then that thing about waiting for the last judgment. My thing was, why wait? I mean, if this is real. And I've read the Bible, and I read it a few times. I said, God really talks directly to person. I don't care what some preacher says. I want to know what God says to me directly. And I don't want to wait for a last judgment. That sounds like an idiotic thing to do. I want to go right now, find out what my judgment's going to be, and then fix something. So I'm going to not, and I don't want to go to a preacher or a pastor or a book. I want the real guy, the author. And that's pretty arrogant, but that's what I did. And, it's kind of like, if God's not real and the Bible's not real, then, and if it doesn't matter, and if it is real, then I can have a real direct experience of God. So I'm not going to settle this by saying poems or believing what someone else says, or I want the real truth. And that was kind of arrogant, but I did it, and for me, it worked. And so I had the same experience with Apply the Blood. I said, I wanted to know if there was a real God, and there were real angels and real Jesus, and I had experiences of them all. So I proved myself. And when this Apply the Blood came to me, I was skeptical, but it was mainly because I thought I knew too much, and that was my downfall. So, but I thought the good news was I was going to test it. At first, it didn't seem to hold the water that is promised, kind of like listening to a pastor talking about all these things that God does, and then people are still doing the same things they're doing before. So I thought, but what did I realize was I was distorting images. So I started looking more and more at applying the blood of Jesus. Now, this is kind of an interesting thing. A friend of mine, he was even more skeptical than I. We were kind of down on our financial luck at the time, and we were selling used cars. So we took all of our extra money and put it in this real nice used car, and we'd take it to this friend who had a used car place, and he'd sell it for us. So we really bought one that would make some good money, put it on the car lot, and it was the nicest car there. And guess what? It got stolen that night. And we didn't have any insurance. And he didn't have. So we're sitting there just out of luck going, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? All our money's in the car. And we're there. We called the cops, and they said, well, you probably won't see it. It'll be taken to a chop shop. And you know, we're not, you probably, you know, you just take insurance. We didn't have any. So now this was my friend, and he said he was very skeptical, and I tried to talk to him about this blood of Jesus stuff, and he was, And we were driving after we talked to the cops and stuff, and it's about 3 days after the car got stolen, and he started applying the blood of Jesus to the car. And I thought, now this is weird. I mean, Mr. Skeptic, and I said, what are you doing? He goes, well, I'm going to give it a shot, you know. Within half an hour, the cops called us, and they said, we found your car. They were apparently, they didn't take it to a chop shop because it was so nice. They were driving it themselves, and apparently they just drove it out on some sand, and it got stuck. It was still, the engine was still warm when they found it. They called us right after we applied the blood of Jesus to it. They'd walked away, so we got the car back with no problems. And I said, wow, now that really, to me, was proof. So then I started doing, getting into some other stuff. And this was kind of at a time when I was into, like, applying the blood of Jesus. I would go to let me tell you some of the testing I did. I went to these flea markets and high-end flea markets in California, and I'd apply the blood of Jesus around a certain entry, and I'd see people bolt out of that entry. They couldn't even stand to be in it, and then others would be attracted to it where before they didn't. And then I'd apply the blood of Jesus in another area. It's like some people loved it, and some people just couldn't stand that. And then I used to raise funds for the church, and I found flea markets were a good place to raise funds because there were a lot of people there. And sometimes the security guards would come and say, oh, you know, go outside and do it. They were mostly very nice. But one time I was in Dallas, and this guy was not, I was just asking people, and this guy didn't come up and say anything. He was just a vicious attitude. He just grabbed my arm and started dragging me across the state fairgrounds. He goes, you're going to jail, and you know, and no room for anything. And I was being dragged, and we had to go, like, I don't know, 300 yards to the station. So he was dragging me. My first thing was kind of panic, but then I thought, I didn't want to say it out loud because this guy was, you know, I'm sure he would have reacted. So I just silently said, I apply the blood of Jesus to this whole situation. The second I said that, that guy panicked. He let go of my arm. He stepped back about 10 feet. Couldn't talk. He started going, well, I'm going to, you wait here. I'm going. And he just started walking off. And so I walked the other way. And I thought, and I have a few experiences like that. And then not just a few. I started having a lot more, but not as many as I could. And I've had some big ones here lately, very powerful stuff. This is an admonition, not for everybody, just for some. And I don't want to offend anybody who does this, but it just didn't work for me, and it doesn't work for everybody. So that's, you know, if you're one of these guys that thinks everybody's got to do the way you do, I would listen to this. One time I was, when I was really getting into realizing God was real and that maybe there was evil that was real, I was kind of into casting out demons and fighting evil. I got into some groups, and that was their whole game, was, I call them chasing demons. You know, they were go around and lay hands and scream and yell, and they were having some results, and it was kind of like a fight. The whole world was kind of like a fight, you know, chasing these demons and fighting these demons and casting them out in the name of Jesus and stuff. And I kind of thought, well, that might be my path. I didn't like it, but I was becoming a little obsessed with it, simply because I guess I got a fighting nature. But in retrospect, I just see that I was kind of seeing and fighting demon behind every corner. It wasn't definitely peaceful. It wasn't comfortable, but it seemed like the path to me at the time. Then one of the biggest miracles, healings of my life happened, and this comes from Jesus. Jesus himself communicated to me in an undeniable way, very clearly. He basically said, take all that attention and effort you're putting on fighting and put it on me instead. Don't you fight anymore. I'll fight your battles for you. You take all that attention and put it on me. And I thought, wow, now that made perfect sense. So I started doing that, and man, talk about an increase in peace and love and joy and winning the battles without fighting. I guess, like, so whenever I get this desire to go fight and kick, I just, put that on Jesus, and it's, I don't want to kick him, and I want to, It's just it's an energy and it's a tension. So that works for me and it made perfect sense for me. And I'm not saying that the demon chasers are doing wrong things. It's just definitely not my path. So again, back to the blood of Jesus. Let me think of a... Well, here's an idea. I've seen politics changed from the blood of Jesus. I've seen him change things that have been stuck for years, changed with one sincere. And it's got to be sincere. And that's the next thing I'm going to talk about. It's got to be real. Because I can go through the motion to say, and I apply the blood of Jesus here, but I don't have the focus, the intent on Jesus. I don't have the attention on Jesus. I have the attention on my ritual, my image of applying the blood of Jesus. I was in a jail cell once, and I was, you know, I was contributing. I should have not contributed at all, but I guess I broke the law. But anyway, they arrested me for asking donations in a mall, and I was in there. And I was really peaceful, and I really didn't care. And I just said, it was actually kind of a break because I could sit down and pray. And all of a sudden, they came. Some stranger had come up because I was just praying to God and stuff, not even about jail. Some stranger just came up and got my bail and released me, even though he never saw me before. He just felt he's supposed to do that. And so I only got 10 minutes of peace in jail. And then all the charges were dropped and everything because it was nothing. I got my wife, the most biggest blessing in this life except for Jesus from this process, so, and many more. But here's some tricks of the trade, and I'll end with these. There's no faking it. Don't pretend you're applying the blood of Jesus. Do it. I mean, you test it.
Remember, it can be done quietly, silently. No one has to know, or it can be done out loud. You don't have to tell anybody you're doing it.
It works when it's real, when it's sincere. When you're really trying to include Jesus and the angels 100% of the time into doing it, maybe even doing it for you, just, you know, don't make it ritual. Don't make it showmanship. You can do it totally quietly with no one knowing. Don't make it a ritual, please. The key is you really need the reality of Christ, the reality of Jesus, the reality of the Holy Spirit. It's not a game. It's not a show. It's not a say a poem. It's a real thing. It's got to be a real thing. I'm really applying this blood that Jesus shed on the cross because he said we could. And it's like taking a communion. You can take a communion and do it as a ritual or just be very sincere and draw in the reality of Jesus. That being sincere with yourself is the tricky part because we can believe we're being sincere when in truth we're just being thoughtful. It's like having the image of God in front of the reality of God. And so don't just say the words, I'm applying the blood of Jesus. That won't work too well. It's not about visualizing. It's about a true 100% of your awareness and attention. And go to Jesus with, hey, I'm going to do this. Your blood, I want to put it on this situation. I want your help with it. I don't want to just pretend. I want it to be real and go from there. And know this, I'm not perfect at all, and not even close, after all these years, but I've had some very miraculous stuff that I hope you will have. And I want to get a bunch of people, and I want to start applying it to this whole political situation, this whole anti-God situation that's in the world now, and I am. And hopefully, by the time you get this, I'll have got enough help from Jesus that that'll be switched around quietly, secretly. You don't have to go tell people and get them ticked off at you. Just apply the blood of Jesus to them and watch what happens. But do it sincerely, truly, and not in showmanship. Anyway, so let me say, remember the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's my focus for applying this blood now. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, every part of earth as it is in heaven, every hidden agenda on earth, apply the blood of Jesus to that. And I've got some huge goals because Jesus has shown me he's much more powerful than I've allowed him to be. So anyway, I'm trying to get all the people that I know who believe in God to get a new idea about applying this blood of Jesus. I'm trying to include Jesus more and more.
and take him at his promise. Remember, he said, command ye me. So Jesus, we command you to help us with this blood of Jesus application so we can have you fight our battles for us, and that we can bring this kingdom, this earth, as it is in heaven. Make your kingdom come and your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And I'm applying the blood of Jesus to everything that opposes that and everything that supports it. Thank you. God bless you. And we'll talk later.